Morning.
Morning.
Happy. Well, you responded much more livingly, in a more lively way than they did at 4 to this gospel. Did you really mean it?
Yes.
It's a pretty hard read, and it's a long reading. Oh, we only hear, I think, once a year, maybe twice. We only hear the Ten Commandments once a year. Can anybody name all 10 right off the top of your head? I bet you there are. What's the 10th commandment? That's what I thought. I can't remember it either. What's the 4th commandment? Honor your father and your mother. 5th. 6. Not steal. 7. Not covet your neighbor's wife. 8 is, oh, shall not cover your neighbor's donkey or property. And 9 and 10, I don't remember. Now you have homework. Well, that's about a third of you. Okay, in light of the opening prayer, do you think you're pleasing to God? Yeah. It's a bit of a frame, isn't it? It's exactly what the prayer said. That by God's grace, however it particularly said it, that we may be pleasing to God. Submit that most of the time is when we are not pleased with ourselves. And we just categorically tend to think, well, if I'm not pleased with myself, God can't be pleased with me either. I don't think that's true. You know that caveat for those kinds of things, but the reality is, because I'm not in any way trying to say, well, sin isn't really all that important. Sin is a lie. And if we are in fact in Christ, which we are, when we get to heaven, we should be attentive to our sins clearly. But how does that phrase go? You know, the best offense is a good defense, or is it the other way around? A good defense is a good offense, it doesn't matter. But in this case, if we keep our eyes on Jesus, if we keep our eyes on God, now I can ask you again, and you're going to give me the right answer. Do you love God?
Yes.
Well, yeah, because that's the right answer. But think about how you love God. How does your life reflect and give evidence that you're a Christian? And that somehow how through your life, as you are today, how is your life reflecting God in the world? You see, these are important readings. But God wants our hearts. And sometimes that's, not often, most often, it's the hardest thing to give. Particularly in our culture. Because we've been living in this postmodern culture for a lot of years now. And there's an infinite number of things that distract us from paying attention to the inner recesses of our hearts. When we think of our heart, you know, we kind of really have to wade through, do we not? You know, the distractions, the things we've done that we shouldn't have done, the things we ought have done, whether we should have done, and oh, you got to go underneath all that. Get it out of the way. I think it could be a good Lenten practice. Wednesday is Ash Wednesday. I hope you enjoyed the Gloria today. Yeah, you were singing pretty vibrantly. I could tell Jim was praying with particular gusto. His fingers are going to miss that for 7 weeks now. Now, I have to tell you, I think it was just a warm-up for this morning. What do you think the opening song was at 4 o'clock yesterday? Morning has broken. And I said, good morning to everybody. And they said, good morning back. Thanks, Jim. You gave me a nice line there.
Morning somewhere.
It's morning somewhere. Anyway, I do think we all have a good, the world needs a good Lent, don't you think? And you know the one you have to start with? Is the one you see when you look in the mirror. Work on your heart. Now, that's a homily in itself, but I've already got 3 other homilies going here, so I think I'll just try to stick with one. But these readings today really, in a certain frame, really have a rather penitential tone, don't they? But don't take that like down in the mouth. Don't feel bad about these readings, and pray God, do not feel guilty. Because they really are the wisdom of God that help us to realize who we are. It's okay to be human, just in case you don't know. It's okay. The book we're using in the book study this year, this time, the reality of human failure. And failure is not comparative to always to say sin. We all fail, do we not? You know who didn't make his high school basketball team? Michael Jordan. I don't know the numbers. That's the only one I can remember off the top of my head. You know who got kicked out of the fourth grade? Einstein. Oops. It's okay to fail. I'm not going to say it's okay to sin. But when you sin and you say you love God, then just go to God and have the courage and the faith to speak to God from your heart and tell him you're sorry. And ask for forgiveness and the grace to kind of do better the next time. We all need Lent. I don't like it or dislike it any more now than I did when I was younger. Oh, I suppose there are, I can remember a few Lents. Maybe when I was a young seminarian, wow, what a great season. Because there were times in my life I really could see and feel movements of conversion in my life. Have you ever had time like that? But now, okay, it's Lent. Oh, okay, it's Lent, you know. Okay, what am I going to do? Not only what am I going to do, Lord, what do you want me to do? But it's not your Lent yet. The readings today really remind us that faith is a choice. It's a decision of the heart to make a commitment to walk in the light of the ways of God modeled in the example of Jesus. And the example of Jesus is clear and unwavering. He lived a life of total self-giving, total self-emptying, a complete self-surrender. We're not going to be able to do it exactly the way Jesus did it. But I know, I've been here long enough, because I can see and I've visited pastorally and spiritually and sometimes, socially. Each in our own way, in your frame and state of life, married, raising kids, being a caregiver, whatever. I know, you know how to be self-giving and other-centered. I also know that all of us, no offense to anybody in particular, we're all selfish too. I know I am. I'm working on that. But faith is a choice. And God knows and understands the reality of human weakness and the reality of our failures. Look at some of the greatest, look at some of the people God called. David, who was the adulterer, Moses, who was a murderer, Peter, who couldn't get his act together, you know, Paul, who used to persecute the Christians. But they came to realize and fall in love, really love, and they gave their lives, the energy and the motivation, the animation of their lives. And in the case of Peter and Paul, they were martyred for Christ. And they chose that. Now, if Jesus told them that was going to be their end, they'd probably have a second thought. But it was only because of the maturing in that love through the course of their years, they said, hey, okay, I'm all in for Jesus. And this is what it means right now. I'm still in for Jesus. It's a choice. The readings today really begin, I think, in a very poignant way. That says exactly that. If you choose, you can keep the commandments. It could just as well have said, well, if you choose, you don't have to keep the commandments. That'd be kind of dumb. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, and they will save you. If you trust in God, you shall live. If is a dangerous word, isn't it? If you choose, you can keep the commandments. If you trust, there's a whole reflection in that as well. It's a great opening for Lent and the opportunities to ponder our stance before God. Don't whine and moan because your heart isn't perfectly pure yet. It's not going to happen, but we keep working on it, right? There's some beautiful hearts out there that really are essentially focused on God. The rest of us are distracted half the time. Okay, you keep getting up and you keep trying again. God doesn't force anyone. God has given us the glorious freedom and allowed us the treacherous danger of free choice. If is a dangerous word. Because it gives us the freedom and it holds the option and the opportunity of a non-commitment. In today's language, wouldn't someone simply say, I can do what I want? And a lot of people are doing exactly that. God again makes it clear that our choices brings about their own results. I place before you this day life and death, good and evil. Whichever you choose will be given you. And each choice will have its consequences or its blessings. Don't just think sin or grace. Remember, the Sirach is late in the Old Testament period, and we see different sections, different times and areas throughout Scripture. We're going to see it next weekend when we read about the fall, Adam and Eve, and that lousy snake and that delicious apple. The fall. You know, that's not always about original sin. Believe it or not, there's something good about the Garden of Eden. Because the human beings there woke up to conscience. Do you think God meant for us to live in Eden all our lives? How would anyone ever mature in such a perfect world? I know, it's pretty inviting on the one hand, but how would we grow? This reading from the book of Sirach really is an invitation and the awakening of the gift of human conscience. A well-formed conscience in the heart of a faithful person will most of the time, not always, you know, it's not perfect, most of the time will lead to a path of righteousness, right relationship with God, and a rightly ordered life. But a person ill-formed or having a lazy conscience, lazy about church religion or faith, lacking faith, are likely to fall away from God at the risk of losing their soul. You know that God knows the weakness and understandings of human failure. God is very aware. God knows those who seek with longing hearts the way of love. And God knows the hearts that do not seek Him and just follow life the way they want to. Falling into sin due to human weakness can rather readily, and I don't mean simply, the cost of our sin is the death of God in Jesus. But if we're sinning simply out of the reality of our human weakness or ignorance or inability to recognize otherwise, we can find and receive God's mercy through a spirit of repentance or sorrow, honest contrition, finding a renewal of heart that very likely and often enough will lead to a change in behavior. But the one who freely chooses intentionally a life of sin with a design for hatred and power and selfishness, that's kind of a different story, isn't it? God can and will forgive all who seek the unity and the love God offers us in Christ. But those choosing a way of life that leads to spiritual death may not realize, may not be able to see that what God offers us in the person of Jesus. Or they might say, well, I really don't care because I like my life the way it is. I'm not judging or condemning anybody. But, you know, any of us can fall into a habit and think, well, I'm pretty used to this. And it can't be all that bad. And before you know it, it's like, whoa, you're kind of off track. But for those who consciously choose that, you see. So when you say your act of contrition, don't just say it for yourself. Say an extra act of contrition for all the other sinners out there, because we're all in good company, are we not? Don't just say one for yourself. Say one for everybody else. Keeping the Ten Commandments are more than just obeying the 10 rules, 10 laws. I seem to remember in the fourth grade, third would have been too young, by the fourth grade we were made to memorize the 10 commandments, weren't you, in Catholic school? I think so. Certainly by junior high, definitely by confirmation time, and I still remember most of them. I got to look up 9 and 10, make sure I didn't do them. But it's got to be more than those 10 commandments, right? They're just they're essential, but they're a basic structure for the stability of society, the stability and the right order of society. Because you know, now we are in Christ. We are people in the Spirit to live beyond the law, which leads us into the light of the gospel. Morality is not only my personal goodness. I never broke that commandment. That sounds like Paul when he was justifying himself by the law. But morality has a relational, a social, an economic, an institutional, and a communal nature, as we all well know. There's too many bad apples in the same basket, the whole basket tends to be offline. The moral dictates of the last 7 commandments flow from the wisdom of the first 3. The last 7 really are for the stability and the right order of society, but it's the first 3 are the 3 that have to be known in the heart. What is the first commandment? I am the Lord your God, and you shall not have false gods before me. God alone is the Lord. The second commandment, God's name is holy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And then the third commandment, we are called to keep holy the Sabbath, that our lives are not our own. I owe, it's off to work I go. Our lives are not our own. We are dependent on God. And God gives us the wisdom of Sunday, the Sabbath, so we can have a physical rest from daily work, but also the spiritual rest of sitting still, paying attention to ourselves in God and God in us. It acknowledges our dependence on God, so we gather in community, in our common worship, even if the best part of Mass is coffee and donuts, which it is for some people, if you live alone, and that's the only interaction you have all week, nothing wrong with that. As long as you're paying attention at the altar of the Word and the author of the sacrifice, the community is just as important as we commonly worship God in spirit and in truth to strengthen our faith, inspire our hope, that will defend us from going our own way. That's easy to do in our culture. Our worship of God strengthens our social bonds of morality and justice, increases our awareness of the need for charity, right order in society. Loving God and trusting the promises of Christ will strengthen us against sin. It will remind us of God's mercy and stir up the joy of being forgiven, acceptable, and even pleasing to God. When those things don't happen, I think we're seeing it in our culture these days and around the world. When society and culture fall to hate and fear and other forms that push aside the dignity of human life, faith weakens, violence increases, and people are drawn to poor choices, selfish choices, often out of fear or suspicion or doubt, choices against the wisdom and the Spirit of God. Don't think this is a harsh word. It's a word of invitation. It's a word of mercy. God longs for all of us. I do believe that you are pleasing to God. Even when your children, when it rarely happens that they misbehave, don't you still love them? Don't you still pursue them? You don't kick them out and say, well, don't come back until you got it all together. Well, God doesn't do that either. Pay attention to your heart. The laws and the rules are like sideboards on a hockey rink. They keep us in the right field. But pray today. Begin to learn to pray in Lent. Pay attention to your heart and go underneath all the things that you think are in the way and all the distractions and just realize the light, the truth, and the love of your own goodness, because all that love and truth and goodness is from God, freely given to you and me. Praise be God.